Hey y'all. I haven't posted anything in a while, so I'm just dipping my toes back in the water with a little questionnaire. I decided to do this one by Talia 1989, 60 Questions from Sunsets. Thought it was a pretty name, and I didn't actually look at the questions beforehand, so I'm just going based on the name. So I'm just like sitting in my bedroom with my cat. Since the last time I posted, I have acquired a kitten. His name is Sneezy. If you hear any sneezing in the background, that's him. And I have my coffee, so I am all ready to go. So, question number one is, what do you see when you look at the stars? I'm guessing this doesn't mean literally. I mean, I live in a city, so when I look at the stars literally, I see maybe like 10 specks of light total, and I'm assuming a few of those are just satellites instead of actual stars. But I don't know, I just get really peaceful and happy when I look up at the sky. I love the sky, mostly in the daytime, but you can't look directly at the sun, so I guess that's a positive for nighttime. Really like the ideas of what's out there, you know. I definitely believe in extraterrestrial life forms, regardless of whether they're amoebas or creatures that are like a billion years more advanced than us or whatever it might be. No, I basically live my life by the saying, like, I know nothing. I don't know enough to say that anything does or doesn't exist. So I just kind of stare up at the sky and think, huh, maybe there's a little Martian up there. Well, probably not a Martian, maybe more like a Jupiterian. I don't know. Okay, that was really long for one question. Let me go to the next one. If you could be any superhero, which one would you be and why? Okay, so I'm not much of a superhero person. I will probably be crucified by this, but I hate Marvel. Not that I really have anything against them. I just find all the movies deathly boring. And I never really read comics. I was more of like a manga person when I was a little kid. But I do know a few of them. I think I really like Copycat from Marvel. I wouldn't want her tragic backstory. No matter how much I complain about my life, her backstory is definitely worse than mine. But I have always wanted the power to shapeshift. Generally, I have always been drawn more to DC villainesses, which I think is a thing that happens with very young bisexual and lesbian girls, is that for some reason, as a child, you'll find yourself inexplicably drawn to a super hot villain, and you don't really know why until you get older. And for me, that was like She-Go and Harley Quinn, and especially Poison Ivy. Like, ooh, I did want to be her when I was little. What inspired me to start posting? Or who inspired me to start posting? I can't really think of any one person in particular. It was really just that erotic audios are my favorite form of porn, and it's kind of like with everything else that I do, is that I started doing it because I liked consuming it. And so I was like, oh, if I like consuming it, maybe I'll like making it, You know, I want to put more of what I like out into the universe. One thing that can bring a smile to my face. This shouldn't be such a hard question. I guess any of my friends just coming up and saying hi to me, that immediately puts a smile on my face. There are a lot of things that I enjoy that are just like, meh. But people doing absolutely anything will really put a smile on my face. A personality trait I don't like in others. Okay, so the one that first comes to mind is arrogance. And it's always tricky because, like, confidence is obviously really important. And I'm always getting on my friends' cases about, you know, fake it till you make it with confidence. And confidence is really, like, one of the things that gets you everywhere. And if you don't have any of it and you're always, like, doubting yourself, it's really hard to get where you want to be in life and to even just be happy, you know? But some people don't know where the line is and become horrible assholes. And it's just like, it's one of those lines where you go from being wonderful to a person I don't want to spend any time around at all, you know? If you could describe yourself in three words. Okay, back to arrogance, I think. Probably sad, creative, egotistical. That might be it. It depends on the day, to be honest. If I could choose a profession to do, what would it be? Okay, so the profession that I'm working toward right now is, it's not really a profession, but I'm a poet. So I'm working toward being, like, having chairs in different poetry committees that, you know, give out awards and things. And, it sounds so cheesy to say it, but I do want to be a poet laureate one day. And that's a kind of profession in itself, you know, you have a title and everything. But to go along with that, to actually make money, the real profession is teaching at a university. So I'd like to teach creative writing to people who are in the place that I am right now, which is in university, studying to become an English major. If you could go back in time and choose to meet anyone dead or alive, who would it be and why? Okay, I don't know how I came up with an answer to this so quickly. But, so, my absolute favorite painter of all time is Artemisia Gentileschi. She's just this wonderful Italian painter. She paints with so much emotion. You see that typical Baroque style, but the way she paints women is just so much more, I don't know, feral or realistic, really. Like, she paints all these scenes, like, from the Bible where women are killing men. And often other painters would have depicted these women being very timid while they're doing it. You're like, oh, this isn't feminine, but I gotta do it anyway. But her characters, when she paints them, like Judith slaying the head of Holofernes, I think it's called, she's just getting right in there, you know, because this man deserves to die. And I would go back in time if I could. I would meet her. I would support her because she does go to court and is tortured very publicly. I just would want to be her best friend, and I would also want to get her to paint a portrait of me That would just be a dream. Let's see. Oh, I missed one. Number seven. What's your favorite Disney movie? Oh, Princess and the Frog, I think, is currently my favorite Disney movie. I love the 2D animation. I was so angry when I found out that Princess and the Frog was going to be the very last 2D animated Disney film ever. Because I just think the 3D animation just does not look anywhere near as beautiful. Sometimes it is, but I'm partial to it, and I found it so relatable. Well, first of all, Tiana's lack of sleep. That's what got me when I first saw the movie. But she's just so absolutely hardworking. And I mean, that's how the vast majority of Disney princesses are, except for like Ariel. But she's just so inspiring. And the music in the movie is fantastic. Okay, what's next? What's next? Oh, it's already been 11 minutes. Do I believe in fate? Kind of. Sort of. Not really. I'm honestly not sure. I think that there's a lot of stuff working with us and against us that we can't, like, understand or have any control over. And whether that stuff is mystical and spiritual or just the workings of other people that are just too complicated and, domino effect and everything, I don't know. I don't think it makes a difference whether you believe in it though, because shit's gonna happen. Like, I don't know. I think I would prefer it if fate weren't real. I don't know, just so you have like a sense of control. But then again, it's kind of sometimes it would be nice not to be in control, Because that's a lot of stress and pressure. I don't know, that's a hard question. That was not a softball. What do you look for in a partner? Okay. I'm gonna say that I have been very unsuccessful in finding a partner. My whole adult life, which, hasn't been a very long time that I've been an adult, like maybe 4 years, but oof, this is a hard question for me to answer. I mean, I know what I look for in a partner, but I know I should probably also change what I look for slightly. I only like to date other poets. Which is really limiting, but everybody I've ever had like an intense connection to has been another poet. This obviously has not worked out well for me because I am single and deeply heartbroken at the moment, actually. But yeah, I tend to look for somebody who is creative, even if they're not a poet. Creativity is very important to me. And I emphasize honesty. I'm extremely honest with everybody, so I expect the same. I actually am too honest, according to some people, but I mean, that's probably the best flaw I could have, right? And I actually almost exclusively. Wait, let me backtrack on that. Honesty, creativity, empathy, that's really important. If a person doesn't understand what other people are going through or attempt to understand why other people are in pain when they are, that's a huge deal breaker. Yeah. I mean, okay, I feel like I could go a lot more in depth, but then I'd probably expose way too much about my personal life. So I'm just gonna go to the next question. Which is, what is one thing you have tasted but would never eat again? Oh my God, okay. I was in the dining hall of this school. Well, I'll tell you the school because I don't go there anymore, so you won't be able to dox me or anything, but I was at the University of Oxford, and in one of their colleges, they had this absolutely gorgeous dining hall, and the food was like okay. I mean, I hope I don't offend any English people here, but I didn't really have any good food while I was in England, no matter where I went, unless I was in Chinatown. But this really took the cake. So it was lunchtime. I was sitting with all of my housemates, and a couple of people had gone through and grabbed this thing in a very tiny terracotta colored ramekin. And, you know, the top was this waxy looking layer. It looked kind of like very pale candle wax. And if you hit it with your spoon, it cracked kind of like a thick, thinnish layer of candle wax. Like a finger thick, I guess. And underneath it was a salmon pate. Now, at the moment, we did not know that it was salmon pate with a layer of hardened fat over it. So, one of us took a spoonful of it, ate it, and was just like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever had. And of course, every single one of us also had to taste it. And when I tell you that to this day, I can still taste that salty, cold, hard fat in my mouth. It was absolutely traumatizing, but definitely the most interesting flavor I experienced at that dining hall. So 10 out of 10 for effort. I wanted to die immediately after eating it, but that's okay. That's okay. So if you're ever in England, do not eat salmon pate with a mysterious waxy cover over it. Okay, what kink do you think you have unlocked, and what was your reaction? Okay, I haven't really ever had an opportunity to play out any kinks or anything, but I mean, I definitely have some ideas of what I would like if somebody else did it. They're all, like, pretty vanilla things, though. I mean, it's like getting choked and stuff. I mean, I've had people, like, very gently squeeze my throat, and I'm always like, could you maybe, like, put more pressure? And, of course, it's always like, no, because, you know, fear of killing me or whatever. But, yeah, I don't really have too much of an answer for this one. If you could be anywhere in the world, where would you be? That's a good question. Maybe New Zealand? I hear that they don't have coronavirus right now. I think that's right. If so, New Zealand. I would like to be in New Zealand. Which one of the five elements are you? Okay. Wait, five elements? What are the five elements? Air, earth, fire, water. Okay, wait. Let me just Google this. Five elements. Wood, fire, earth, metal, water. Okay. I hope this is what you mean. I have this Chinese astrology book from my childhood. I don't know why my parents bought it, because we're not Chinese, but, in it, it said that based on all of this different shit about me, like my birthday and everything, my element would be metal. Do with that what you will. And then if you're looking at four elements, earth, fire, water, air, all of the online BuzzFeed quizzes tell me that I'm water, but I don't like that because I'm terrified of water. So I think metal is better. don't have any elaboration on that because I don't actually know what any of that means. If you are... Oh, wait. No, I scrolled too far. Name one sense you'd be willing to lose. Smell, I guess. That would dull my sense of taste, but it would be the least debilitating. I don't want to have to learn Braille. I don't want to have to pay for cochlear implants or something. I guess this wouldn't even work if I just... I don't know what works in this hypothetical. But yeah, I guess smell. I really like being able to see. And sense of touch seems important. Actually, you know, maybe if I lost my hearing, I wouldn't have to listen to my mom yell at me anymore when I go home. Decisions. Probably smell. If you had to choose between a loved one and your work, would you? It honestly depends. Because there are people, there are loved ones, and then there are people I actually, that I love who I actually enjoy. So for example, if I had to choose between work and my cousin, I would choose work. If I had to choose between work and my best friend, I would probably choose my best friend. It really depends on the situation. Like, is it like, will I lose my job if I am helping my father through a traumatic experience? I'm like, okay, yeah, it's better to lose your job and not be a dick. But if it's just like, he'll be fine if I come help him after hours, then I would like to keep my job. I don't know. It's... This is too vaguely philosophical. I really have no idea. I need details. What advice would you give to your younger self? Okay, so throughout my life, I've had a huge problem with social anxiety, and that really limited me when I was in high school, because in 10th grade, I switched to a very small private school that was almost exclusively wealthy white teenagers, and I didn't fit in at all. And the fact that I was like different from everybody else kind of made it so I didn't just blend in with them immediately. Like, I wasn't just taken in by anybody except for this one girl who also switched into the school at the very same time as me. And I guess what I would tell that 15-year-old child is that even if your hands are fucking shaking and you think you're gonna have an anxiety attack in the bathroom after and you think you're gonna cry when you get home, just walk up to a group of your classmates in like the dining hall and sit next to them and speak. Like, do your best to just have a conversation. Don't even just say, can I sit here, and then be quiet and stare at them. Like, actually fucking speak. You can do it. I believe in you. And if somebody invites you to a party, drink the vodka. It's okay. You can drink a little vodka. But if you do manage to become friends with those rich, popular people, don't do cocaine. I never did cocaine in high school because I didn't have any friends, but I'm sure if I did have friends, I would have had the opportunity, and this, we don't need that extra problem. So yeah, advice. Face your fears. Talk to people. Which I think lots of kids need that advice. Though I think most kids don't need the advice to drink vodka. That's bad parenting. Okay, this is number 19. If you are walking through a dark forest, name one scary character you would not want to see. Oh my god, any of them? I'm so easily frightened. For some reason, the first thing that pops into my mind is Slender Man. I know everybody's going to think I'm a baby, but if I see one of those blurry Photoshopped photos of Slender Man, like, to this day, I still get a little freaked out and don't want to be in a dark room. Honestly, there are very few things I would be, like, okay with seeing. But yeah, for some reason, that's the only one I can think of. But yeah, you could be any scary character, and I would shit myself. But I wouldn't go down without a fight. Definitely not. It wouldn't be a good fight because I'm pretty physically weak. But I'd do it, you know? I'd gouge Pennywise's eyes out if I could. Okay, if you had the chance to have a superpower, what would it be and why? Well, I mentioned that before, shape-shifting. And the answer is, number one, vanity. Just change how I look. You know, who needs plastic surgery? That's expensive. Shape-shifting. Second reason, I can imagine it would be so much easier to manipulate myself into the positions I want if I could shape-shift. Like, if I could pretend to be someone more powerful who could, like, give me a job and be like, hey, give this person a job. Yeah, I would totally do that. I don't care about the morality of it. Yeah, shape-shifting. I feel like you guys are not getting a good image of me as a person from this. I'm not going to say I swear I'm a great person because I'm not fantastic, but, you know, I think I'm pretty decent, and these are just questions that are meant to bring out the bad in me. If you were to change into the opposite sex, what would you like to try? Nothing really. I don't know. I complain about being born with, like, female biology all the time, but I would never want to be a man. I really can't think of a single thing that I would want to do that being a man would make it easier for me to do. I guess because, yeah, I mean, it would be things that would take longer than a day, I guess. Like, I'm sure if I were a man, I would, you know, more easily get recognition for my writing and stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. I would probably just go about my normal day and be confused, honestly. Name one Disney song that really strikes a nerve. Oh my god, Go the Distance from Hercules has made me cry in the past. It's one of my favorite songs, probably like my number two favorite song. Oh, it's just, oh, so inspirational, so sweet, so sad. Poor little Hercules. My favorite sexy toy. I don't have many. I really only have two vibrators, and you know what? I love them equally. And honestly, I don't think I ever need something else. Like, what does a person need other than a vibrator? A book that you have read that others should read. Okay, so I'm currently reading this book, Borderlands, La Frontera. Subheading, The New Mestiza by Gloria Anzaldúa, and it is wonderful. It has its problems, for sure, but it's still a worthwhile read about being a mixed Latina woman, a Chicana, a Mestiza, living at the border between Mexico and the United States, and there's a lot of stuff that is, of course, very specific to being Chicana, but there's also so much universal stuff there. There's discussion about queerness. It's full of poetry and insightfulness about the universe. It's really kind of hard to describe, and I honestly haven't finished reading it, but I think for any mixed person, it's a worthwhile read and very validating. What are your love languages? Touch. Touch and quality time and words of affirmation. Like, one of those does not go above the others. Those are just so, like, those are tied for number one. Gifts don't really do much for me. I mean, I like money, but that doesn't show me, like, that you love me, you know, it just shows that you have money. Or, I mean, it can show that you're thoughtful. I guess, you know, there's actually gift giving can be really nice in the right circumstances from the right person. But yeah, I get the most from somebody telling me that they love me and, you know, cuddling me, holding my hand, things like that. I'm a romantic, what can I say? What song in any genre types speaks to you? Oh, that's so hard. I mean, they speak to me in different ways. I mean, let's see. Okay, so I have this playlist called Scream, which I listen to when I'm driving and need to be pumped up. And the song off of that that speaks the most to me is called It's Okay to Punch Nazis by Cheap Perfume. And you know that speaks to me in one way. I'm like, hell yeah, it's okay to punch Nazis. And what else? I'm trying to think of something that's like more like core emotions. Oh, there's this musical Next to Normal about this bipolar woman, and there's a song that she sings called I Miss the Mountains. And it's about when she's medicated and everything, and she actually misses the experience of like going up and down emotionally when she's unmedicated. And that speaks to me. I don't have bipolar, but I do have other mental illnesses, and I can understand the really fucked up desire to just go back to being like in pain. It doesn't make sense, but it also makes so much sense at the same time. It's really bizarre, and it's a lovely, lovely song. And I think, yeah, I really can't think of anything else. I mean, there must be a song that like encapsulates my whole existence, but I don't know what it is right now. What theme song would you base upon your life? I don't know why, but the song Fat Bottom Girls by Queen just came into my mind. I mean, if that were playing everywhere I walk, I wouldn't be upset about it. If you could tell me one thing about you that no one else knows. There isn't a single thing about me that's a secret. I mentioned before that honesty, like, I'm honest to a fault, and that means people often know more about me than they want to, or more often, I just save different information for different people. So, but yeah, everything about me is known by somebody. Yeah, I mean, there are some things that very few people know, which, you know, that I post on Gone Wild. Just close friends and one of my cousins and my therapist knows that. I have a tattoo inside my lip that says Daddy. Not a lot of people know that either, especially not my actual father. He will, if he finds out, I'll have to kill myself. Oh, here's something that actually no one else knows. I have slept on my bed without a fitted sheet for 3 days now. Yep, nobody else knows that, and it's fucking embarrassing. So there you go. My deepest, darkest secret, dear God. How do you show someone you were in love with them? I mean, other than telling them some really cheesy, you are my son, the light of my life, et cetera, sort of thing. I have written poems about people I like before. The girl who just broke my heart, I wrote four poems about her. So that's what I would show to show that I'm in love with somebody. Do you like being called by different honorifics? And what does that mean to you? The answer is no. Guys have called me mommy and daddy, and I've rolled with it, but I just think it's so fucking funny when somebody calls me mommy. yeah, it actually kind of kills the mood for me, but it does create another mood that I'm also perfectly okay with. Yeah, I can't get behind it. And when somebody calls me daddy, I also, that's very strange for me because when I was in high school and then also my freshman year of college, I always had this group of friends that I'd been really close with. Like, we met like right after I turned 14, right before I started high school, and we were friends until like 2018. And all of the guys that I was friends with, they all called me daddy for some reason. I mean, like, I was the head bitch in charge if there was one in our friend group, which, you know, there was. So if somebody calls me daddy, I just automatically relegate them in my mind. I'm like, oh, this is like when I was a teenager, and it feels very platonic to me. Am I a passionate person? Yes. Just in all counts, yes. If I could be in any movie life, which would it be? Oh, that's such a good question. So many of my favorite movies involve situations that I would not actually want to be in. So, oh God, this is really hard. Wait, let me Google really quick how this one movie ends. Okay, so I was thinking about that movie, The Favorite. But now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I would actually fare very well in court life. I'm not actually very manipulative. I wouldn't be able to figure out how to get ahead, but I just keep thinking about how beautiful, like, Queen Anne's bedroom was and everything. I'm like, oh, I would kill to live in that palace. But honestly, I don't know. This is the type of question that would take me like 3 hours to figure out an answer for. Let's see. What's the next question? Name your favorite flower. Oh my God, I also don't have an answer for this. I like a lot of flowers. I mean, I hate to be stereotypical and be like red roses, but they're so pretty and they have such a strong smell. I do appreciate lavender. It's a flower, yeah, because it's so soothing and makes people so happy. Sunflowers kind of creep me out, but they're so fucking big, and I love the color yellow. And baby's breath is so tiny and delicate. I don't know. I think it has to be roses, though. Red specifically. Some of my favorite sayings. Okay, so this one is real Southern, and it's kind of fucked up, but in Georgia, and I think in some other states in the southeast, when it's raining while it's sunny out, we say that the devil is beating his wife. And oh, domestic abuse, not funny, but I don't know why we say the devil is beating his wife. I mean, I'm assuming it's 'cause like it's not natural rain. It's like 'cause it's not cloudy. So the rain is the tears while she's being beat, and it's absolutely horrible. But very interesting, and I'm not sure how it came about. Tell me one thing you wish you had that you don't have right now. I have two very different answers to this. One answer is that I wish I had approximately $2 million to ensure that I can, one, live comfortably during grad school, two, supplement my parents when my dad retires. They won't need much money for that, but just like a little bit to help my sister out for college. And three, I wish I had a fucking girlfriend right now, but that's my heartbreak speaking. The money is a little more useful, but yeah. So, $2 million, that's what I would like. Sunsets or sunrises? Sunrises. They're so invigorating. If I personally get up at sunrise, I know it's gonna be a productive day. Like, I've gotten up at the crack of dawn. I'm gonna get shit done. I have all the time in front of me. I don't know why. Just like, sunrise does something to my brain where it just changes my whole outlook on the day. Coffee or tea? Well, right now I'm drinking a mocha. I hated coffee for years, because I had child's taste buds. But then I forced myself to like it, and now that's what I drink most of the time. But I do have an electric kettle and an entire shelf in my cupboard dedicated to tea, so it's really hard to choose. Rain or snow? Snow, because I don't like getting wet. Though snow means ice, and I'm clumsy and I fall a lot. So snow plus heated sidewalks. Can the entire state of New York please implement heated sidewalks? Please and thank you. I feel like that's confusing because I just said I'm from the South, and then I'm talking about New York. I go between both places. Okay, hot or warm? In what scenario? I mean, I'd rather be warm than hot, but I prefer a hot to a warm shower. Cuddles or kisses? ¿Por qué no los dos? I guess cuddles, they last longer. Okay, that's not true. Cuddles, though. Yeah. sex or love. 100% love. I need love. I desire love. I desire attention. If you could find out something about your future apart from your death, what would it be? I don't want to know anything about my future. Like, I do, but I know I would regret knowing immediately. Because right now I have all this hope about how my life's going to be and what I'm going to make of myself. And I know that if I find out that I'm not going to get to the height of my dreams, that will destroy me for a little bit. I would lose motivation and be like, well, then why even try doing anything? And that would be horrible. So I don't want to know anything, except part of me wants to know, will I ever find love? And will I ever like have a partner and get married? And I guess if the answer is no, I can live with that more than knowing that like I'll never have the career I want. But actually, no, I couldn't. I don't want to know any of this. Do you believe in ghosts? Yes. Like, not entirely, but yes. I grew up in a place that's considered to be very haunted, and I have had people come into the house that I live in, which is about 200 years old. It was built in the 19th century. I've had people come in and be like, there's a ghost over there. And then the attached house, like it's the same house, but it's just split in half, so somebody else lives in the other half. I have people stay there all the time and they say they see and feel weird shit. But in my half of the house, I've only had one person come in and be like, there's a ghost right there. And that scared me because I was a child at the time. But yeah, I mean, because of the culture I was raised in, I definitely don't not believe in ghosts. I think there's a very good chance that they exist, or there's some form of energy, at least, if not like spooky specters, but just like the remains of energy as we die, and the energy has to go somewhere out of our bodies into the universe. But yeah, I've had lots of spooky experiences. My house has a lot of statues and sculptures because my dad is an artist. And there's this one in particular that I am convinced has its own spirit. And I've tried to communicate with it before, and she scares the shit out of me, you know? I don't know. So yes, the answer is like 70% yes, I believe in ghosts. Do I believe in aliens? I also mentioned that toward the beginning. Yes, I think that for me, it's like scientifically, statistically, it's extremely likely that somewhere, I mean, we have no idea how many light years out, but somewhere there is life. It's impossible because we don't even know how big the universe is, really. Or, other universes or whatever. Just, I think it's impossible that there aren't somewhere just because there's so much space. Name one thing that scares you: aliens and ghosts. No, let's see. But seriously, since this is a separate question, needles. This is funny because I have several tattoos, but I'm not scared of those needles. I'm scared of needles like for getting shots. I used to cry so much when I was little and I had to go get shots. My doctor actually, I think, committed fraud for me. and would sign papers for my school saying that I did get the shots that I needed to have to go to school because I was such a difficult patient to work with that none of the nurses wanted to deal with me anymore. Because I mean, once I literally ran out, I was like, I don't know, I distracted them somehow, and I was like, I just need to breathe. And I was like 4, maybe 5 at the time. And then I went into the lobby, and then I ran out the door, and I ran across this clearing because it was in this kind of, I don't know, there's just like a lot of grass. And then I ran across the highway looking for this store that I liked when I was little. Yeah, I ran across the highway to get rid of a shot at eight, to avoid a shot at age 4. So if that tells you how scared I am of shots, yeah. One thing that excites me. I feel like I don't feel excitement very often. So that gets kind of sad if you think about it. I mean, making new friends excites me. That's, I guess, probably really cheesy, but that is one of the times when I get really excited, is when I meet somebody for the first time and realize that there's like this genuine connection. Because, I don't know, I love people so much. If you could do one thing that would change the course of history, but would save many lives, would you risk messing with the space-time continuum? I mean, it depends. Like, am I gonna stay in that time period, or am I supposed to flash back into the future, which would be this present, and experience like a wildly different world? I don't know. I feel like it's probably not worth it. Because there's so much hate and inside so many people, and even outside of hate, there's so much ignorance, and often people don't know that they're doing something bad. And I guess my point is that because of the way people are, if you avoid one tragedy, they're just gonna be more tragedies in this new timeline to make up for it. Because of the way people are. I mean, there are things that I would want to do. I mean, I feel like everybody's like, ah, I would go back and I would shoot Hitler and end the Holocaust. But, you know, there are so many different things that come together to create an event. Like, you could shoot Hitler, but the Holocaust would probably still happen at some point, or just in a slightly different way. I don't know, personally, I think I would like to go back to. Where my ancestors are from, there was also a situation with concentration camps there, and I would somehow try to annihilate the people who were rounding up and killing innocent civilians. You know, preferably before they started doing that, but I also would acknowledge that I would have no idea how that would change things, and maybe something worse would come along. And it's hard to think of something worse than your relatives being forced into a small area with thousands of other terrified people, but maybe there is. I have no idea what would happen. Oh my God. These questions really are so deep. Like, Talia, why? I'm gonna move on to the next one. Favorite flavor of ice cream? Oh my God. There's this one grocery store. There is a sea salt caramel truffle. Oh, so great, just chef's kiss. And you know, there's also the time and place for moose tracks, just chocolate on chocolate on chocolate. And ooh, just so many ice creams. I love ice cream, all of the ice creams. Just, they're so good. Favorite sport? I'm not a sports person. I'm very stereotypically feminine in a lot of ways. But I kind of enjoy football. I can watch a football game and be really excited about my team and be like, shouting with everybody else if I'm slightly drunk. And, I get very disappointed when my team loses. So, yeah, I guess football is good. And, in the South, people are super into college football. So it's really hard not to enjoy it, like, even a little bit. What is my favorite word to say? I don't really have any favorite words. To say, I have words I don't like saying, like rural, because I, well, everybody hates saying that word. Yeah, no, I just kind of think all words sound really cool or weird in their own ways. I don't have a favorite. Do I speak any other languages? Sadly, no. I've always been really embarrassed about this because I am Latina. So, like, half of my family speaks Spanish, and I do not because I was raised in the United States, and my mother just didn't want to teach me. It's very difficult to teach anything to the kind of child who will run across a highway to avoid getting a shot. So yeah, I can speak a tiny bit. I can understand, like, if somebody's talking to me in Spanish, I'll understand like 30% of it, depending on what they're talking about. But that's, yeah. One movie I really enjoyed. I think I mentioned The Favorite before. That is my favorite movie. I also really like, oh my God, Moon. What's it called? Oh my God, it's called Moonlight Kingdom. Moonrise Kingdom. I don't know how I forgot that. That used to be my favorite movie. Oh, so good. I love the way Wes Anderson. Oh my God, I can't speak. Wes Anderson shoots things. Just very pretty. Such a cohesive aesthetic. I love it. Really, if a movie is beautiful, that's what gets me. As long as the dialogue isn't stilted, if I can just stare at the scenery, I'm good. Like, this isn't a movie, but the Dark Crystal series on Netflix. I know there is a movie, but I haven't seen it yet. Beautiful puppets. Oh, wait, this is a movie. Same thing, Jim Henson Studios. Labyrinth, that is tied for number one favorite movie. David Bowie was a sexual awakening for my child self. And the puppets, once again, it's so gorgeous. I just, so intricate. I love them so much. Tell me one thing somebody has said that warmed your heart. Okay, so once I was in the woods with a bunch of other writers at a writer's retreat, and we were all getting to know each other. I mean, we had known each other for a while at this point. We were sitting around a bonfire. Well, not even a bonfire, it was just like a campfire. It was a regular safe fire for the woods. And we were playing truth or dare, and all the questions were really deep. It was really just a truth or truth at by that point. And everything was just like, oh, the universe, deepest, darkest fears. And I told everybody there about my family and some of my struggles. And this one guy, he turned to me and he said, "Violet, I think you have a really warm heart." And that just made me cry so much. It was like, it's to this day one of the most important things anybody has ever said to me. And it just made my heart glow. If you could tell me one thing that turns you on or off. This isn't creative at all, but if you're like really tall and strong, like you could lift me and throw me across the room, no problem, which would be difficult because I am quite heavy, so it can't be just anybody. That's definitely a turn on. And I really don't know why, but the second I hear that somebody writes poetry, I'm like, oh yes, take me. I feel like that's really fucking weird, but I can go from being like, okay, you're all right, to being like absolutely infatuated within seconds if you just tell me that you write poetry. A thing that turns me off, almost everything, honestly. I am very easily put off by people. I'm hard to please. Name a place that you've been to that you really love. So many places. It's really hard to pick just one. I was in Amsterdam last year and I went to this place called Vondelbunker for so like, underground bunker from the Cold War, and they have punk music shows, and it was just so great. I only went once for like an hour and a half maybe. And I just loved it so much. I wish I could go there every week. It was, dark and smoky, and it's obvious that there was absolutely no money to furnish the place or anything, but it was just so fucking cool. And I didn't even speak the same language as people there, because there were lots of people who were just speaking in Dutch. I think it's Dutch. And even though I know most people in Amsterdam do speak English as well, but I mean, it didn't even matter because, they would speak in English when they're introducing themselves and whatever, but the music would be in Dutch, and it didn't really matter. Like, the vibe was so cool. We're getting towards the end of the list. Cool. What do you think about people crying and showing their emotions? I think emotions are important. They are the biggest part of who you are. I cry in public. I don't like to, but I do it. I try not to cry in front of people. Like, I don't like to cry in front of my parents. I don't like to cry in front of my friends. But if they cry in front of me, like, I don't mind. I want to support them. I think everybody, men included, really need to be able to express their emotions. I think it's so important to personal growth, personal understanding, and it's very unhealthy to keep your emotions bottled up. Do I like Coke or orange? I hope this isn't a question about drugs. I like Diet Coke. Have you broken a bone? I've never broken a bone. Knock on wood. I hope I never do, because I am very clumsy. If you won the lottery, what would you buy and who would you treat? Okay, so obviously investing. Shit, money for a rainy day and whatever. I need a new wardrobe. I don't fit most of my clothes right now. So I would, buy a whole wardrobe so that I can actually go out in more than two outfits. And I would treat my best friends. Of course, like, I would buy my best friend a car, probably, depending on how much money I have. Yeah, I'd probably just take out everybody, all of my friends for like a day to buy whatever they wanted. And I would give money to my sister for college. I'd probably give my dad money to like bling out his old man convertible or something. I don't know, whatever old men like to do. Okay, last question. How does someone know that they exist? Oh my God. Yeah, this question wants me to dissociate, I think. I mean, you don't know that you exist. I mean, I guess you know that you exist. You don't, but 'cause you just know that or see that people interact with you. It depends on what you mean by existence. Like, are we in a simulation? Is this a flesh and blood world? Like, what? I think there are lots of types of existence, and it doesn't really matter which one it is. That would be cool to know. But I think you just know that you exist by, you feel the ground beneath your feet. You smell, you breathe, you hear, you see. Other people see you, speak to you, acknowledge your existence. And if we don't actually exist, it doesn't really matter because it feels like we do. And if it doesn't feel like we do, please see a therapist. I don't mean that condescendingly, but that would be very concerning. But no, I guess you don't know. And that's kind of cool. And I think it doesn't really matter because, life's the same regardless of how aware you are of what's causing it. Okay. So that's it. That's all 60 questions, and it's been over an hour. I have no idea if anybody like has actually listened to more than 5 minutes of it. If you did, please tell me, 'cause I want to know who my number one fan is or my number one stalker. Yeah, so talk to you later. I am going to be recording a lot this coming week. I don't know if it's going to be anything that I post on here, but I'm going to try. So yeah, see all of you guys later or hear all of you later. Stay safe, stay healthy. Much love.